Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You like that, big boy?
You're gonna get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not gonna get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in LA. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Book it. LeBron to the Terminator, 2025. Welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and full episodes are available on iTunes. Simply go to iTunes, search DA or The DA Show, and you'll find full episodes of The Da, all 3 hours, full three. Just simply go to iTunes or even radio.com or other places podcasts are available. Now, our next guest is a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. He's also a two-time Super Bowl champion and a former Outland Trophy winner for college football's best interior lineman. He's one of the best ever to play at Pitt. He joins us here on the show to talk a little college football. Mark May joining us. Mark, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, DA. How you doing? Doing wonderful.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for dropping on by. And one of the pieces of news today that dropped in college football that three more players are leaving Tennessee. Now, these are three players that Jeremy Pruitt did not recruit. But again, there's been an exodus this season of players. And it's not going to get much easier after getting shredded by Florida. They've now got Georgia coming up here. Does it feel like this is getting away, the program is getting away from Jeremy Pruitt, even in just such an early stage of his career there?
It definitely does. When you've got recruits that leave and you've got players that are already established there that leave and players getting in the portal, yeah, it's one thing that you're losing and things aren't going your way, but players have to understand that when you make a commitment to a university, you've made a commitment to that coach or to that university, and you have to follow through with that commitment. And they're just not doing it, and it's like rats running off the ship. And unfortunately for Tennessee and Phil Fulmer, their athletic director, who was a heck of a coach there and player, things just aren't looking good, and there's probably going to be a change at Tennessee.
So do you then not like the transfer portal and how much player movement there is in college football?
I'm not a big fan of it. I really look at it right now that if you sign with a team and you expect to be competitive, and if you're a real competitor and you get beat out, then you're really not a competitor. You know, it's worked for some players, but other players it hasn't worked for. And everybody talks about the players that it's worked for, and it's usually the quarterback position because that's the main position. But what about all the other positions where players transfer and they're not doing that well?
What do you think about the Houston situation where a starting quarterback says, I'm going to now play four games and then sit and just basically redshirt this season as a senior to keep my eligibility to come back for next year?
It's interesting because De'Ara King is the quarterback that you're talking about at Houston, and he's had a phenomenal career there. Remember, he had 50 touchdowns last year before Kyler Murray did, before he got injured. So he's a heck of a football player. And the thing is I think you have to take a step back and look at the situation. I think that in the back of his mind, he may either go to the NFL or he's going to be healthy, because he's right now sitting out, or he's going to transfer possibly to Oklahoma next year, which most quarterbacks that are at the top of their game that can do that are really good quarterbacks have done apparently the last 3 or 4 years. So that may be his options. I really wouldn't think that he would just take the rest of the season off and come back and play for Houston, because they're not very good now and they're not going to be very good next year.
Mm. Mark May joining us this morning on the show. What's the biggest thing wrong with Michigan?
I would think, one, their attitude, and two, they're just not physically tough enough and mentally tough enough because they're not playing the Michigan way. You know, you don't get manhandled like that, like the Wisconsin offensive line manhandled them and Jonathan Taylor did in that game. And if you look at the game against Army, Army almost beat them. Army took them to overtime. You know, if you look at the talent from Michigan has and the talent that Army has, that game should have been put away in the first quarter. And Michigan wasn't able to do that. And I know they've changed the offense, and Jim Harbaugh's handed the offense over to a new offensive coordinator that's never been a coordinator before, and he's calling plays now. That's just not Michigan football. But the bottom line is, when you look at Michigan before Harbaugh got there, they were winning 6 games a year on average between Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez. Under Harbaugh, they're winning about 9 to 10 games every year. Yes, it's great improvement, but he hasn't defeated Ohio State, and that's the key. And if he doesn't get it done this year, this is the year he's supposed to get it done without an Urban Meyer, and I don't think they're going to even get close to Ohio State this year. I think a lot of people are going to start asking questions, is this the guy, or is he going to beat feet out of town like he did with the 49ers in the league?
What do you think about Urban Meyer? Do you expect him back on the sideline, maybe at USC?
Oh, his wife has been measuring for drapes with her tape measure in Clay Helton's office the last 2 weeks. Come on, D.A., you know that. Why does the guy Urban Meyer, where he already worked for us at ESPN when I was at ESPN, he's been there a couple of years. He knows the situation, how to work through ESPN and their policies and procedures, and he knows all the producers and directors, and he's got a familiarity there. And he's only an hour and a half flight there, and he decides to go a 3-hour flight from Columbus to L.A., where he's coached at Utah, he's recruited California, he knows how to recruit that area, and to be, his studio is less than 40 minutes from USC's campus. And he can go to high school games every Thursday and Friday night when he's in Southern California. The writing's on the wall, unfortunately, for Clay Helton, unless they run the table and get to the Rose Bowl this year, and I don't think that's going to happen. And I can almost guarantee you that that's the job he's going to take, because if you look at his track pass record, he doesn't go to a place that doesn't have a good quarterback that's already established.
This is an interesting theory. So what you're saying is, simply by taking the Fox job instead of being at ESPN where he had worked in the past, that's the first sign that he wants the USC gig.
Once he took that job, that was the first thing that I had in my mind, that I imagined. Why are you taking that job? Because you know the situation that Clay Helton is under. You know that USC is a great place to coach. You know that they've got a great heritage and great history there. And you know that you can draw players there. And they've got like four quarterbacks that can play major college football, apparently, because JT Daniels left. And they have three freshmen that are there that can play major college football. So he's going to step into a situation where he's going to be solid at the quarterback position. He's got some great athletes at the skill position at USC. All he's got to do is get a good recruiting class under him. And it's the same thing he did at Ohio State. It's almost a turnkey operation.
So, do you think that's a bad look? I mean, Urban Meyer is part of the coaching fraternity, and as you said, by taking a job in the backyard of Clay Helton, he's automatically putting a ton of pressure on Clay. Bad job by Urban?
That's what coaches do. Think about it. You know, if you look at all the good coaches throughout the history, that's kind of what they do. You know, they go around, if they're relieved or if they're out of coaching for a year or two, they find a great place that they would like to be dialed into, that they think they can have success at, and they find a way to get in with the alumni or to get into the program or get into the athletic director. USC doesn't even have an athletic director now. I live in the southwestern Arizona, where a lot of USC alumni are at. My dentist is USC alumni. That's all they're clamoring about right now, is getting Urban Meyer as their head coach.
So that's kind of interesting, because, you know, coaches are supposed to look out for one another, right? They're supposed to understand the pitfalls that happen in their industry. And what you're saying is there's a lot of vultures out there in that industry that don't care about the guy that's already employed. They're going out for theirs.
Did you ever see any of the coaches in the SEC be really friendly to one another? Did you ever have them write Christmas cards to each other every year? They go at it tooth and nail at each other, and you know what? When they recruit, they don't tell the truth when they're recruiting kids. They're not telling positive things about the other head coaches in the SEC. So that's one of the things that I would look at. It's pretty cutthroat business. Coaches are making millions of dollars now, multi-millions of dollars now. So it's always going to be a cutthroat business.
Mark May joins us here on the show, longtime college football analyst. He's also a great in the Pitt Panthers annals. And I wonder where you look at that program as, because a couple of weeks ago, an embarrassing loss to Penn State and how that ended. And then you have a really good win over a very good UCF team. So what's your assessment of the Panthers?
Just consistency. I think that Pat Narduzzi is the right guy at the right time at the university. He's doing a great job there. They rebranded the entire university and sports program again, but this time they put a ton of money into it. And right now they're recruiting better. And I think with the win last year and for them to get to the ACC championship game last year, it's helped them recruiting. And I think that down the road that they're only going to get better. And it's a competitive conference. Everybody's chasing after Clemson, and they're the top dog in the conference. And it's just Clemson and everybody else in the ACC.
You are here to remind everybody that it's getting a little colder, unfortunately, and flu might be going around. And so how do people need to be able to protect against the flu this season?
Well, the first thing, people, you have to get your shots and get your flu shots. And the thing is, people have to realize that millions of people get sick, hundreds of thousands of people get hospitalized, and tens of thousands or thousands of people die from the flu every year. And it's very simple just to get a flu shot. You know, if I walked up to you and said, would you like to get sick? You'd say no. Would you like to get the flu? You'd say no. And I would ask you, why aren't you getting a flu shot? Are you getting one? You and your family should get one. I get them because I travel around, and I'm in planes a lot, unfortunately, and I'm walking around shaking hands with people, taking pictures with people, traveling a lot of crowds with people. I don't want to give them the flu. I don't want to get the flu. I don't want to get sick. So go out and get your flu shot. They're very easy to get. They're not that expensive. You can get them at pharmacies, get them at your doctor. Go out and get a flu shot so you're healthy this season, so you can watch college football in the NFL, and you guys in the studio can stay healthy. You guys get your flu shots, and make sure your families get your flu shots.
Did you ever shake hands with a stranger that wanted a picture or say hello that you're like, ugh, you just coughed into your hand or you just sneezed?
Absolutely. And that's what really scares the dickens out of me. That's why I get my flu shot. Because it's always that one guy that's hacking. If he wants to come put his arm around you and get a picture or a selfie with you, and you're like, I'm glad I took the preventive action and got my flu shot.
Mark May joining us this morning on the show. Mark, great stuff, man. Thanks.
You got it, guys. Have a great day.
Okay. Mark May joining us this morning on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.